listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Welcome to The Alex Spicer Show. It's been quite a while, and I'm excited to be back at it. Now, there's been so much going on in the world, and the things I hope to say on this podcast and in any podcast, I hope can be more timeless. I mean, hopefully it's timely in the manner that you hear it, but the principles and the concepts shared here are timeless because, really, I think we do ourselves a big disservice in America when we spend all this time listening to political pundits just basically rant off about the news. And what we do is we chase our tails and we just follow the next symptom and the next symptom and the next symptom. When really what we need is we need to return to the fundamental principles to find real solutions, to really understand why we keep coming up with, or why we keep experiencing all of these symptoms. And we will quickly discover that many of the solutions, so-called solutions that we propose to use are not useful. In fact, they only compound on the problem. Something someone had once said, and I'm trying to recall who I had heard said this, but they talked about how basically they noticed that when it came to like the Iraq war and all this conflict in the Middle East, that people came forward with the arrogance to believe that it was our prosperity and our knowledge of just, we're educated people, that like that was the major factor that kept people from advancing in their political society, in their polity, but also in their morality and in wanting to be self-governing. We had this decadence. We truly believed that our wealth can solve anything, when really our wealth is just a symptom of just like everything else is. It's a good symptom and it's a symptom that we want, but our wealth is the consequence of the moral principles that we have lived by and followed for since the founding of America and before, since the Puritans came over trying to escape persecution, religious persecution. I think it's so, I guess, expected that we can be so arrogant to believe that our wealth, our prosperity, the fruits that we have can solve everything, when really we need to fix human behavior. And you can't really fix human behavior, but you can nurture human behavior towards the betterment of human nature, because we are capable of great evil and great good. The founding fathers, they were very careful to study history and politics and the common cycles of humanity, and they set up a government not out of prosperity. In fact, America as a country had very little. They weren't even united as the United States after the war with Great Britain. But they looked at all that history and they saw, okay, the only way for us to really pave the way forward is by having people who want to be free, who have the right manners, who have the right moral values in place in their hearts and in their actions, that they will temperament themselves. And then we have a government. So basically we have people who are willing to be moral, and then we have a government that will be controlled by the voice of the people. And that government is self-controlling in itself. It has checks and balances in it, but ultimately it is the morality of the people that will prevent that government from loosening itself from the constitutional bounds that are necessarily there. It's like John Adams said, he said, our government was made for a religious and moral people, and it is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I mean, it cannot work in any other way without the people themselves being moral and good. And here is where it's very common. If you look at the great civilizations that have prospered and done well and have reached high levels of prosperity, they all abandon the things that brought them greatness at some point or another. And right now, we have all these great things, and we have prosperity, we have freedom, we have autonomy, but we have no sense of what is right and wrong. And the moral majority will not stand for moral absolutes. I believe that a large reason for that is people have given in to this idea of trying to be nice and fair, when by falling for that trap, they are neither nice nor fair to themselves or to the moral majority, nor to the future generations of America or the existing generations that are here. Most especially the younger generations that are coming, that are growing up and being enslaved in debt. There's not enough wealth to go around to solve poverty. There's not enough niceness to go around to solve disparity of treatment. But like my dad always told me, life is never fair, and it's not fair. But the best thing we can do for people is to show them how to change their own behaviors. That way they do not cause themselves to be in unfortunate circumstances or put themselves out. We want to blame our neighbor. We want to blame someone rather than take responsibility for ourselves, because the only person to blame is ourselves. And we need moral absolutes, because if we do not have moral absolutes, we did not have lawfulness. There cannot be laws. One of the most incredible and inspiring things about the Old Testament is actually the Ten Commandments. And that's because the Ten Commandments lay down some very, very clear moral absolutes. And so did the other books of Moses. The Old Testament does a really great job at that. And Jesus also continues to add to that. It's wonderful. The Bible is a wonderful manual to turn to know how we should live in order to be free and be happy. I'm of the belief that governments are not really, that they really should only exist to ensure the protection of rights of individuals and to protect the sovereignty of individuals, and that they should never infringe upon the expression of conscience, someone's religion, their beliefs. It's not a coincidence. In fact, I believe, God really set up things incrementally, carefully, and purposefully for us to be able to look to and rely upon to sustain ourselves. And I think one of the most careful things ever laid was the fact that America was established as a land of freedom. And freedom what specifically? Well, specifically the freedom that mattered the most in the minds of those who were actually persecuted horribly in Europe and came over was the freedom of conscience, the right to religious expression. Think of that. They wanted to come and live somewhere where they could live according to their beliefs. Because in the end, they realized if they could be persecuted for their beliefs, they could never establish their own businesses. They could never live in peace. They could never have their own property, because the government will always have a reason to confiscate it, to take it away. And the evolution of man's politics, of political systems, This giant leap forward that happened in America happened because it founded itself upon, first and foremost, protecting the right to religious conscience. if you cannot live according to what you believe, then you have no right to anything. So what if you believe that's your house, that's your property? So what? You can, let's put you in jail because we don't believe with the way you, we don't agree with the way you believe. And it's very scary because that is the first place dictatorial leaders and regimes go for, is they attack people's religion and establish among themselves a new religion, one that enslaves the mind and the human spirit and character and will not allow them to be free and sovereign individuals. In fact, Stalin and Lenin made it very clear that they needed to get rid of Christianity because it prevented comrades from being fully fledged comrades. It held them back from becoming a pure ideologue, which means they can't be convinced to do anything. They're not easily enslaved. And that's a problem if you want supreme power. Too often people, they worry that we can't proceed unless we give enough power to a strong man, to government, to dictate more in our lives and to do more for us. And we live in such a way that we get so excited and we give too much power and too much popularity and excitement and attention to those political leaders who wield a lot of power or supposed to possibly do so, even if they might be moral and good people. I think the best thing a leader could ever do is to turn it back over to the people and say, rule yourselves, dang it. Rule yourselves. Because if you do not, then you will be ruled. And that's where tragedies ensue. As I've been, in the last couple of months, I've actually been listening to a lot of World War II interviews with World War II vets on YouTube. There's just a ton of them. And as I have been listening to these interviews with World War II veterans, I've just been astounded. Like, these were men, they were really boys. I mean, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, some of them were older. And they went to war, and they faced the most horrific things. They had to engage in killing other people, which is awful. They had to witness it themselves. They had to deal with it. And they had to face seemingly insurmountable odds, both in in Europe and in the Pacific, especially in the Pacific. And what has stood out to me out of all this is that these men, these veterans, they had a deep sense of courage and a firm set of beliefs that what they were doing was right, that the cause of their nation was just, that they had the moral high ground, and that they were going to have to fight to keep that. Right now, we fight amongst ourselves because we don't believe or know what's morally right anymore. It all becomes relative. And this is exactly what our enemies want, because we are easily conquered if that's how we are. And these men, most of them were typically raised religious. And even if they weren't raised religious, America as a whole was very religious, and it's moral values aligned far more closely to Christianity. So as a culture as a whole, they had principles to them that they were willing to fight and die for. They had a courage to do so. Where is our courage? Or are we distracted into oblivion, that we know not where to turn because our hands cradle the very spawn of our own self-indulgence and downfall? We cannot let all this slip by without realizing that this is our own fault. The evils that are taking place because of COVID-19, the tyrannical reach going across the world, across many Western countries, and in America, is happening because we are letting it. We're too afraid to speak up and do something about it. Where is our courage? We aren't facing guns. We're facing censorship, loss of a job. I mean, I can go on. There's a list of things that are nowhere near as bad as I will never get married and have my own family because I'm going to die on this beach. I will never see my mom again. I'll never play catch with my brothers or my dad. I'll never see any of them again. Kind of pales in comparison, doesn't it? We must stand forward with a renewed determination to be vigilant, to have courage, to stand for moral absolutes. Our laws depend on it. Our freedom depends on it. And we need to not be afraid of being labeled, of being ostracized. There are far worse things. And every Austrian and German who didn't stop Hitler, they regret not speaking up when they could have. And this is where we're at. I'm always open to hearing other opinions and other sides of the story, but I know in my own experience, there are things worth fighting for, worth sacrificing for. And when I look into my children's eyes, I know I can't fail them. In fact, I'm filled with a renewed sense of valor and courage to do the right thing. They are the future I want to fight for. If you have any thoughts or you want to share anything with me, leave a comment or leave it in a review, or you can email me at contact@alexspicer.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Alex Spicer Show, and live free until next time.